Poor guy's wearing lederhosen, first of all, so that's pretty bad, right? Have you guys seen that commercial before? Have you heard about these cool things that you can do, like where you can get online and you can figure out what your ancestry is, like where your great-great-great-great-grandparents came from and what bloodlines you're in? You guys ever done that? So my family's done that. There's a bunch of them out there you can do. It's kind of cool to check it out and just kind of see where you're from. And so I think my dad and my sister got really into it a few years back, and they like did our whole family tree. It was pretty cool to find out, because I'm from Plymouth, Massachusetts. Anything cool about Plymouth that you guys know? Anything cool? You're like, where's that at, right? There's a big rock there. Yeah, there's a rock. The rock's cool. What else? What happened in Plymouth? Let's see how good you're listening in school. Angel. The Pilgrims landed there and started this whole country, right? Like, that's like kind of like a pivotal moment in America. So, cool thing is, the captain of the Mayflower, that's the boat that brought the Pilgrims here, is my great-great-great-great-great-whatever-grandfather named Christopher Jones. I was like, sweet, I'm like related to the guy who like brought people over here to start our country. So I was like, why are we still, he should be like the president now, but we're not. But anyway, so I thought that was neat to look back and kind of see all these different people in my family tree. You guys can do that, check it out. But there's one thing about ancestry that I want to bring up tonight, because we're in this series on how to battle sin. And so we're learning about what sin is and where it came from. And we looked at that we're commanded to take sin and even good things that might weigh us down and to toss them off so they don't slow us down in our pursuit of Jesus, right? And then last week we saw how Jesus himself faced temptation. So Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan's coming up to Jesus trying to get him to do things that are sinful. And we got to see how Jesus, every single time, went to Scripture, how he was prayer and fasting and was in the Spirit. And then every time Satan would say something, Jesus would use Scripture to combat it. And we saw how important it is that you and I know Scripture. That's why we're doing these silly games up here, so you guys memorize Scripture. I'm challenging you through the week to memorize, but to do more than just kind of commit it to memory like you do in school. You can go to school all day and do that. But apply the things we're memorizing to your heart and to your life, because that's what Scripture's for. It comes alive in your life. And so that's how we battle sin. And so this week we're looking at the roots of sin. And as you look down your ancestry line, do you know that each of your like ancestors, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, all the way back, we all trace back to the same person? And our brokenness, the things about us that are sinful, that separate us from God, can all be traced back to the same person? So as you look around the room, like, we're all family. These are your brothers and sisters. As different as we look from each other and act from each other and talk from each other, you're still family if you go far enough back. And that family has passed on this thing called sin. So if you read in Genesis 3, and I know you guys are all about getting into the Bible, so in your quiet time, you can open up Genesis 3 sometime this week and you can look at the story there. That's a true story of how sin came into the world. Where this thing started in our family tree that got passed down, this rebellion against God that broke our relationship with Him. And when it broke our relationship with God, it broke all the relationships of the universe. Every system in our universe broke. We and our relationships have this like brokenness. And so as we look around us and as we live in this place, everything is broken. That's an effect of sin. That's what sin does. That's why Jesus said, this is so important because sin broke everything that I come and I give my life for it. I go to a cross. And so Jesus takes sin really, really seriously. So tonight, as we look kind of back through some of the roots of sin, I want to bring you to a passage that shows us kind of that everything that we do, every time you're tempted, every time you sin, if you really look at it, there's this filter you can use to figure out, is this thing that I'm doing here really out of like good motives and good intentions? Or is this, does this thing have roots in sin? Am I really genuinely doing this? Or are there other motives that are sinful in what I'm doing? And so I want to ask you guys, open up with me to 1 John. The verse for this week to memorize is 1 John 2:16. All right, so get memorizing now for next week so you can win some cool stuff, but also because it's awesome for your life to memorize Scripture. All right, John 2, verses 15 to 17 is what we're going to start looking at. It says this, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." So as we read through this, John has given us this straightforward, no games talk on sin and following God. And he starts off, here's first words, do not love the world or the things in the world. Here's your command. Here's your warning from John straight up. We already know this, right? We looked at these passages over the last couple weeks. We're commanded not to sin. We're told that Jesus came to free us from sin. That's why he did this thing. So for us to mess around and be like, I love you, Jesus. I love singing worship songs. I like reading verses from the Bible, especially Psalms, because they're really pretty. And I like having Christian friends because they're super nice and helpful. But I still love to sin. I still love to think those thoughts and to look at those things on the internet and go to those parties and places I know I shouldn't be and do all these things, but I kind of like both worlds. And John's kind of putting it on the old scale here, saying, no. You love God or you love the world. And he's not leaving a whole lot of wiggle room for us. He's saying the more you love God, the less you're going to love the world. And the more you love the world, the less you're going to love God. It's just how it is. Because they're opposing, completely opposing forces. They don't get along. They don't go together. You can't mix them well. And so he says, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. Now, does that mean everything in the world's bad? Like, God made it all, didn't he? God made good things, and he made them for us, and we can enjoy them. He's not saying that. But he does use that word, love. When we start to love the world, the brokenness of all these things, and we love it so much, when we're really commanded to do love two things. You guys know what they are? Jesus said it really clearly. To love who? And to love people, others. Love God and love others. So when we distract ourselves from that and we start to love the world and the things that are in the world, we're not obeying God. It's not that the things in the world are bad and we can't enjoy them because he made them for our enjoyment. But when we start to misuse them and to love them more than the one who created them, or we perverse the way we use the things God made, that's where we stumble into sin. We take God's original design for something. Look at marriage, for instance. Let's just use an example. Marriage is awesome. Marriage is a beautiful thing that paints a picture of Jesus loving his church. So when a man and a woman get married, they're displaying to the world, this is just like God loving the church, loving you and me. That's a beautiful thing. But what we do when we start to love the world is we come along to something like marriage that God created and designed to be so awesome, and we pervert it. In our brokenness, in our sin, we misuse it. And we start to redefine who can be married. And start to say, dudes can marry dudes. Girls can marry girls. People can do what they want. You don't even really have to be married. You can just live together or just enjoy people. And we go on and on, don't we? And we pervert the way God designed this beautiful thing. And we don't just do it with marriage. We do it with everything. It's our sinful nature. Like everything we come across, it was beautiful how God made it. We touch it and we want to just misuse it and abuse these things. And they become sinful. And so as we're looking at this phrase, don't love the world or the things in the world, John's saying, love your Creator and the way He designed this world to be. Don't start to love it so much that you neglect it and that you twist and pervert it for your own desires. John uses the word world here, and he uses it a lot. And a lot of times when he uses it, it's this negative connotation, meaning the broken world, the sinful side of the world. And then he says this next. Look, he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right, so this one's going to hit us hard, right? Because this is not taught a lot. It is here in this church, praise God. But when you're listening to other sermons in other places, and maybe even the internet, there's a lot of people out there preaching something very different from what this verse is so clear about. It's like, you can love God and still do sinful things. It's all right. It won't be that bad because you love Jesus. You're saved. And this verse is like, nope. That ain't happening. You love God or you love the world? They're opposing ideas. If anyone loves the world, love the Father's not in him. If you're so infatuated tonight with the sin in your life, that it would just be heartbreaking if you were to lose those sinful parts of your life. I dare say that your love for God's really low. Because the more you love God, the more he draws you to himself, the less you love the world. And that doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with sin. There's a struggle there. Those of us who are just kind of like, man, I willingly love sin. I just love doing this. We got an issue. There should be a battle in you. There should be a struggle in you that says, I don't want to love this. I might get dragged back to it a lot, and it's a weakness in my life, but I want Jesus. So that's where most of us are going to find ourselves tonight, hopefully. And that's a good place to be. Battle sin. Jesus gave you supernatural ability to stand up and to battle sin. You love God or you love the world. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. John is looking us in the face and clearly saying, if anyone loves the world, then love the Father is not in him. There's no other way to take that. Then he says this, for all that is in the world, right? And remember what he's talking about here, like this brokenness, this broken universe that we live in, this sinful place now because we broke it. Our ancestors, remember, broke it. You and I have broken it many times. I'm sure you guys have sinned a lot in the last 13 or whatever years you've been alive. We've broken this place. Sin is on our shoulders. And then he says this. He gives us three specific roots that are in the world. He's going to tell us what this world is about. So we're in this talk about sin. Rob, what is sin? Like, I want to battle it. I want to go out. I want to do battle. I want to stay away from it because I love Jesus. Like, I want to imitate him. I want to be like him. But what is sin? How do I know what is or isn't good, what Jesus does and doesn't want me to do? How do I know? And so John gives us these three kind of roots that we see pop up all throughout Scripture when we talk about sin. These three things to be aware of. It's not a comprehensive list for us of like every sin you could possibly list out, but it is a good filter for us to look and say, what's the intent of your heart? So no matter what you're doing, if you can go through this filter, you can look and say, man, I think what I'm doing is sinful. It might even look like a good thing, but when I look into the root of it, it's in my heart. I see some of this in here. I don't know if I'm doing this for the glory of God. And so he points out the first one. Look at it. It says, the desires of the flesh. And what this refers to is like your physical needs. Like, you're human, I'm a human, we have needs. There are desires that we have. You're hungry, right? And being hungry tells you, you need to eat because you need calories. I'm thirsty, so I need a drink so I don't dehydrate. Like, there are some natural things in us that is the flesh, your body telling you, hey, you need this. And the flesh has impulses and needs. And you know what? Sometimes all we listen to is the flesh. We listen to are the needs of our body, and we start to kind of worship the things that I need and that I feel and that I want and my body desires, whether they be sexually, whether they be, I want this thing and I'm so focused on stuff that I just need in my life, but it's this carnal desire for things. And we become so focused on what I want that we forget all about the fact that Jesus has stood up and said, I've given you everything you need. I've fulfilled all your needs. And so John says that first one, that desire of the flesh, is taking those things God's given you that are good for you, and you pervert them. You make them your master. You worship them instead of the Creator. The second thing he points out is desires of the eyes. And what this is talking about here is you and I have this other type of desire besides just our needs and our impulses in our body that drive us to do certain things. That if we just follow that, we're just like the animals, right? But we also have this other thing, this desire of our eyes when we see things. You ever seen something you really, really want? And you didn't even know you wanted it 10 minutes ago, but when you saw it, you were like, I have to have that. That's kind of what he's talking about here. These things that our eyes see, and all of a sudden we covet them, like we want them so bad, and we say, how come that person has it and I don't? And we have this desire about us. Think of King David, and we're going to talk about him in a minute, where he saw another man's wife, and she was so beautiful. He's like, I have to have her. 10 minutes before, he had no idea she was even a thing. And you and I see things, and this sin, this temptation comes up in us that says, you need that. You can hear Satan kind of whispering, take it for yourself. We have this desire of our eyes that leads us to pervert the way God made beautiful things. You know, God made a gorgeous universe. I mean, you guys, have you seen sunsets around here on this island? You've gone to the beach, they're beautiful. We get to see them like every day. God has made beautiful things and they're not sinful. What's sinful is the fact that you and I see them and we pervert them and we misuse them. We make them sinful because we start to worship those things over Christ. And then finally it says, the third thing is the pride of life. The pride of life is right back to the garden. All three of these things are, and we'll see that in a minute, but it's this idea that I deserve those things. Like, don't tell me no. Don't you hate? You guys saw my dog earlier. Anyone see my dog? My new dog? She's a puppy. If you tell him no, like, he's trying to get my phone. He loves to bite my phone. It drives me nuts. And so he's always trying, and I'll be like, no. And the second I say no and point my finger, you know what he does? He tries to bite my finger. It's like, argh! And then he'll bark at me for a minute just to be sassy. Like, no, you told me no. And he's got this thing in him that's like, don't tell me no. And he's a dog, right? I know you can relate to him because I can too. I hate being told no. I hate being limited in what I can or can't have. Don't you hate that when your parents are like, I know you really want to go to this, but I'm not letting you go. And you're like, why? It's your first question. Why? Why not? Because we don't want to be told no. So when God comes along and says, here's what's good for you, do these things. We look back at God and we go, but why? How come I can't do that? And this pride of life wells up in us like, I deserve it. Why do I deserve it? There's nothing about me that deserves anything. I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I've run away from the God who created me and loves me and gave me everything. I don't deserve anything, but somehow this pride wells up in me of life that says, God, I deserve this. I'm taking that thing. And these three things can be traced back in everything that we do, in every sin that we commit. You can see traces of these temptations in there that lead us to sin. And then it says this, all that stuff is not from the Father, but is from the world. God doesn't bring those things to you. God brought a beautiful, perfect universe for us to live in. He made it so awesome. And we're like, God, why didn't you just make everything without sin? He did. He did do that at the beginning. That's how he created it. And you and I broke it. And we keep breaking it. And we've even seen Jesus come and die for it and go to a cross and raise again. And you know what we still do? We still sin. Still having seen that and witnessed it, like we know that he rose again. And yet Rob Jones still goes back and sins. God didn't make it broken. God made it perfect. And then he even has redeemed it for us. And yet we still chase the world. And so he says this, are you ready? The world is passing away along with all of its desires. And we expect that. It's Bible language, right? We expect him to say that. But you know what's funny is that we don't at all believe that for some reason. Because we still chase it. If I world was this rotting, disgusting mess that was on its way out, I'm not going to chase after it. I don't want a part of that. If I thought sin was disgusting and would not take me anywhere and would just ruin my life and destroy me, I wouldn't chase it. So for some reason, when I'm still chasing it, you know what that means? It means I don't really believe it. It means I think this is going to last. This is going to be good for me. Let me run after it. And John's warning us. He's like, listen, those things that are enticing your eyes that look so pleasant for you to reach out for, those things that your body just craves, that you feel like you deserve to have, that are of the world, listen, they're worthless. They're broken. They're fading away. You're wasting your time chasing those things. But if you're like me, you still fall into sin. You still get tricked. You still run back. Solomon, if you guys have read stuff by Solomon, you'll know that he says that chasing sin is like chasing after the wind. You ever try to catch the wind? You can't do it, you know? Keep trying. You're not going to be able to do it. It's not going to be anything worthwhile for you. It's just going to ruin you. It's going to bring you to a quick end in your life. But then we're kind of like my dog, just, I want it though. I want it. Don't tell me no, God. And then John says this at the end. He says, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So as we're looking at sin and we're looking at these options now that John's put out, you either like chase sin or you chase God. They don't go together. They don't go together. If you chase sin, you're headed to destruction. It's worthless. It's not getting you anything. But if you chase God, it's forever. It's eternity with the Creator who made you and loves you. It's the most amazing thing that your mind can't even comprehend. But yet, for some reason, I still chase the rotten trash that I see all around me. Instead of this beautiful, incredible Creator who's offering me everything. Who proved it when He died on a cross. So, as we look at these three things, right? We have desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. This filter that we have. Let's peek back real quick at Jesus in the wilderness. We look back at last week and see what happens here. We see that Satan comes up first to Jesus, remember? And he says, hey, Jesus, aren't you hungry? You've been fasting all this time, 40 days, you must be starving. Just look at that rock and just turn it into bread. Which one of those three does that fall under? You guys help me with that? Desires of the flesh. You got to eat, right? You're hungry. He's trying to tempt Jesus' desire of the flesh. And then he says that doesn't work because Jesus uses scripture. So he takes him to the temple. He's way up high. He's like, Jesus, throw yourself off of here. Which one is that? Jesus, he looks at him and says, if you jump off, nothing's going to happen. You're too important to God. You won't even stub your toe. What does that sound like? The pride of life. And Jesus actually came to humble himself, Philippians 2 says, and become a servant to us so he could go die on a cross for you and I. And Satan's trying to like tempt him with the pride of life. And he also takes him right up to this big tall mountain and he's showing him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, I will give you all of them. You see how awesome these kingdoms are? Which one's that? The eyes. Satan even used it against Jesus. Let's look at David because we already talked about David a second ago, right? 2 Samuel 11, you could check this story out. David goes out and he's on the rooftop. He should have been at war. We talked about this, I don't know, a month or so ago. And he's looking off at a rooftop and he sees this beautiful woman bathing. Which one's that?
His eyes,
right? David, who should have been away, but instead he's bored and he has these physical needs. His flesh, this desire of his flesh, and then he sees her, and we see the desire of the eyes, and then he's the king, right? Like, I can have whatever I want. I'm the king. I deserve this. Which one's that?
Pride
of life. We're going to see it over and over and over again as we look at sin and temptation in the Bible. These three things keep popping up. Let's go way back. Let's go to the very beginning, because we talked about the garden, right? Where it all started, our ancestors, and let's look at Eve for a second. It's Genesis 3. So specifically Genesis 3:6, Eve is like sitting there and Satan's talking to her. And it says that she saw the fruit and knew it was good for food. Which one's that? For food. For flesh. I'm hungry. And then she notices that it's pleasant to the eyes. It's beautiful to look at this fruit. Which one's that? And it will make her as wise as God. Pride. You're going to see it over and over. Satan used it right from the beginning, and he's using it against you and I today. So as you're faced with something, the Holy Spirit's in your heart going, hey, listen, you shouldn't be doing that. And you feel this conviction, I want to encourage you, stop. Stop and think through this filter and say, wait a minute, are my motives pure? Is what I'm about to do going to glorify God, or am I motivated by one of these three things? Is it my flesh or my eyes or just my pride in me? And I want to try this real quick. I want to practice this with you, right? Let's ask why for a second. Let's just think through a few sins. How about stealing? As we're thinking through the sin of stealing, there's something where I wanted it really bad, right? I needed this thing. And then I saw the thing that I needed. And I was like, man, I could have that. That's really nice. I deserve that thing. I think I should take it. There it is. Next thing I know, I'm grabbing it and I'm taking what's not mine. How about purity? Eesh, this is where everyone gets uncomfortable. We're talking about impurity. It's something that my body wants. We're kind of wired that way, right? And so I have these natural things that are happening that I want to pervert and twist, and I want it. And then I see that person that I think is really attractive, and they catch my attention. Or I see that image that flutters by, and I want to stop it and keep looking. And then I think, man, I deserve that. I should take that. That should be mine. I should enjoy that. I should keep thinking that and running that through my head, or maybe even act on that with that person because I deserve it. You see how we lie to ourselves? And we see it and we're so entranced and we feel like we need it and then we fall into it. And it's something so different. You have stealing and then you have impurity. They seem so different, but really it's the same root. It's just sin in us. It's this brokenness that has just corrupted us. So you're walking through school and you see this person who's different from you. And you're that person that, man, you kind of show people what's up. Right? And some would call that bullying. You don't. And so you think this thought about them, like, I'm better than this person. Pride of life wells up in you, like, I'm better than them. They're weird. They smell weird. They look weird. They dress weird. They're from weird family. Like, they're not even funny. It's so awkward to be around them. I'm better than them. And all of a sudden, this sin is already taking root in my heart. This pride of life wells up inside of me. And don't tell me this doesn't happen, or don't just laugh at this and move by. I walk through your schools almost every day. I see this junk happening in your hallways and in your lunchrooms, and even in FCA meetings themselves, we're trying to study the Bible. I see students bullying other students. I see it happen at Firehouse and church. Pride of life wells up in us and tells us, you're better than them. They don't deserve to be treated as well as you. They don't deserve to be accepted and loved by your group of friends. They deserve to be on the outside because they're different. Yo, that's sin. That is straight up sin. Is that pride wells up in you, causes you to treat them that way. And the last one I was looking at was, I was just thinking through just drugs, alcohol, like these things, and you're like, we're like 13, there's some of us are in middle school, why are you talking to us about that? Because I'm talking to students all the time who are younger than you dealing with that. So maybe you're not, but people your age are. And you're thinking through, like, man, I know it's wrong. I know I've been told it's wrong. And abusing these things is wrong. But I just wanted to feel good. Right? There's this desire of my flesh wanted to feel good. And I saw how cool it was. And these other people were doing it. And they look awesome. I want to be popular. This pride of life comes up. And there I am again, sucked right into sin, suffering from the effects of partying and these other things. Listen, I could go through sin after sin after sin and show you how this thing is always a part of the sin that you and I partake in. And if you're aware of those things and you think through the root of it and not just, oh, it's just some action that I can easily just excuse away. No big deal. I'm not hurting anyone. But instead, you're able to see what Satan's using to trick you with. We're putting a tool in your hand for you to say, Satan, I know what you're doing. I know you did this to Eve. I know you did this, tried to do this to Jesus. You did it to David. You're doing it all the time. I know what you're coming at me with. And I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it. You know why? Because I'm not worshiping myself anymore. I follow Jesus. I want Jesus more. I don't want to love the world. You know what I want to love? I want to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to love the people He's put around me. That's what I want to do as a Christian. So as you guys go out and you do battle this week against sin, will you take that with you? Will you memorize this verse this week? 1 John, let me look at it. What is it? 1 John 2:16. It's the second verse that we looked at. Will you memorize that and will you take it and apply it? And as you go through your week, as Satan comes at you, will you use that verse in your memory and your heart and go, Satan, no, not today. I'm not doing this. You guys close your eyes with me, bow your heads. So I know we're heavy tonight. I get it. I know this topic is not some fluffy, easy thing to talk through. But listen, we're all dealing with sin. I'm up here telling you something that I deal with myself. And I want you to be honest with yourself and God tonight. Would you do that for me just for a couple seconds? If you're struggling with it tonight, if you're struggling with sin and you're like, Rob, I just need you to pray for me. And I want to just have a moment of honesty so I could tell God and raise my hand and just say, God, you see my hand up? I'm doing battle this week. I commit to do battle this week using your Holy Spirit, using Scripture. I want to fight sin this week. Will you just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I'm going to do battle. I commit to doing that. How many of you guys would say that? Raise your hand up and just say, look, pray for me. I'm going to do battle this week. Pray for me as I do battle. Awesome. Anybody else? Yes, I love it. Anybody else? Pray. I want to do battle this week. You guys can put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like, hey, listen, I don't know Jesus. I've never been forgiven of these sins that you're talking about. So like, I can't battle them. Like, I don't even know that I'm forgiven from them. Can I pray for you? Can you just slip your hand up and say, Rob, will you just pray? Because I want to know more about that. Like, I want to get to know Jesus. So find out how I can be saved from these sins. Will you slip your hand up in there and just say, that's me. I'm just going to be honest tonight. Like, I don't know a lot about that, but I'd like to know more. Anybody here tonight like that? Let me pray for you guys. Father, as we are about to come and continue to worship you through song, God, will you hear our hearts? Louder than our voices, will you hear our hearts screaming out to you, God, that you're everything. Lord Jesus, that we love you more than this world, more than anything it has to offer us. Jesus, you're it. You're so much better. Convince us of that. Help us as we do battle this week. You saw the hands that went up, God. You saw their hearts. And you know they're committing, Lord. They're saying, we want to battle sin. We want to love you more than the world. Will you empower us to do that? Cause us to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ this week. Give us the courage in you to look at sin and go, no, I'm not doing that. Help us see through Satan's lies as he attacks us with it in temptation. Father, we love you. We want to give you the glory. Hear us right now as we worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.